Summer. There's just something about it. The blistering sun, the aroma of a barbie.
Getting stuck to the seat in the car.
And of course, cricket.
That's how it's done.
From these tiny seedlings will grow graceful willows. Not planted simply to please the eye, but for a specific purpose.
Need the edge? Has to be Irwin. Available at Bunnings Warehouse. Irwin. Trade strong. This is Triple M's Willow Talk.
Oh, indeed it is. Getting ready for day two of the second test match from Perth. An enormous show last week. The ratings came in and it was absolutely massive. We thought, how do we beat that? Well, what we've done is gone once again to the strength. Adam Gilchrist is here. Hello, Gil.
Morning, Howie. How are you?
Wonderful to see you, but we thought, blew it. It wasn't too bad, but we thought we needed to go up a notch.
Get some A-grade in.
That's right. We have got the most delightful voice in cricket. Isha Guha is here as well. Hello, Ish.
Good to be here, guys.
It is.
I've missed you.
Well, we've missed you as well, and the Triple M audience has missed you. Before we get too stuck in, I'm going to run you through what's happening in the next 2 hours. A very, very nice show. We're going in-depth, one-on-one with Isha Guha, just finding out what actually this girl's about.
Award-winning since she was last on the Triple M airwaves.
Yeah, she reminds
haven't seen
me about
that award.
That frequently. What did you win?
I don't know.
Win what? That many awards?
No,
she doesn't know what they are.
I haven't seen it yet, so how would I know?
I think it was the best.
I think you need to blame the producer, Ewan, for losing it.
Presenter yeah, I think Australia, wasn't
yeah, well, she gave herself every chance in
my
that category,
word, she
didn't she
did.
Last
so
summer.
We'll delve deep with Isha. We've got another top five after the top five best looking cricketers last week. I'm going to do, in my time of watching cricket, the top five most entertaining, the bums on seats players, Isha. So the man to my left here, he'll be possibly in the top five, I would have thought.
Yeah, I think he just about makes it.
Surprised it wasn't in last week's.
Well, that was the anyway. Best five looking. Yeah, probably not quite that one.
What's the laughter about here?
We're not laughing. And we will also revisit the famous Ash Chua moment in the Crown Bar where Chua just took things to a whole other level, Ish, really.
Moment of the series for me.
It was the moment of the series. Before we get too stuck in, and we'll have a look at the stats, etc., and scorecard in a moment. But a pretty positive day by the Aussies.
Yeah, it was a really nice start to the second test. I think after all the sort of thrills and drama in Adelaide, which was a somewhat unusual Adelaide test, wasn't it? Given that the last three have been day-night test matches there, but the pitch was a little bit different. But it made for really interesting viewing. Scoring rates were low, but intriguing test. And I think we're set up for another beauty here in Perth. A historic day yesterday at Perth Stadium, the first day of test cricket there, Ish. But the wicket will be the talking point throughout this test match, but it just created a really entertaining day.
Absolutely. We didn't know how it was going to play. Still an unknown quantity, how it's going to break up about 40 degrees of heat that the Indian bowlers had to go through throughout the day. And early on, I thought the two openers were brilliant. Real statement from the Australian cricketers there. Marcus Harris, he's a bit of a find, isn't
he? He is.
How good is he?
We'll get stuck into Marcus Harris, the scorecard, and what Isha and Gilly thought of the first day in a moment. Triple M Cricket is back with Willow Talk. After the first day's play yesterday, Australia finish up on 6 for 277. Really nice opening partnership of 112. Good to see the Victorian Finch as well making his 50 off 105. Harris, 70. Khawaja never really got going out for 5. Sean Marsh looked really comfortable for 45. Hanscom was out to a stunning catch by Virat Kohli. Head also another half century with 58. Payne and Cummins, really important partnership, 16 and 11. The wickets, Sharma got 2 for 35. I guess in some ways the surprise was the spinner, Vihari, 2 for 53. The ball to get Harris was an absolute beauty. But at the start of the day, I think if you offered that to the Aussies, they would have taken it.
Well, a courageous decision by Tim Payne yesterday. When the covers came off, I think we all stood there and went, which one's the pitch?
Yep.
We had no idea. They hadn't put the white markings down at that point. And you really couldn't tell, could you, Isha, that the green coverage of grass was extraordinary. So traditionally, I think a lot of teams and captains would say, got to bowl first on that. But Payne said, no, I've got taken advice from Adam Voges, the WA coach, who was coaching the only first-class game on this pitch up to this point. And he said, you got to bat first, no matter what it looks like. So yeah, a positive move, courageous move.
Yeah, and Virat Kohli at the toss said as well, and he doesn't often agree with the toss result of the opposition captain, but he said he would have batted as well. So it was a day in the dirt for the Indian bowlers. They came back in the second session, 3 wickets there, and there was something in it. as it kind of dried out a little bit, hitting the cracks. Yeah, we saw a Gazunda, a Zouta ball. We saw one go over the head of Rishabh Pant. So there's still something in it for the bowlers. So that's exactly why Australia will be delighted with how they finish things.
Really strong opening partnership. Aaron Finch has been under the pump all week. If you read the papers, he did a lot of work in the nets, trying to get onto the front foot, possibly batting out of his crease. And him and Harris, well, it was the standout partnership of the day.
It was, I think, what, 112 or 117? 112 it was. You're right about the work that they've put in. There's no denying that. I think bowling attacks around the world will always feel like they're in the game if, as long as Aaron Finch is coming out to open the batting with in test match and first class conditions. But he certainly, it's been no lack of effort in trying to counter that. And he did look more composed today. He rectified a couple of little technical deficiencies I was trying to get out there, Howie. But he was productive in doing so. But Australia has been longing for that sort of opening partnership to lay a foundation to build a total that they ended up with at the end of the day. So all credit to him.
Ravi Ashwin out of the side, injured, hopes to be back for Boxing Day. The Indians went for four quick, second time they've done it this year, only the third time in their history. And, well, it was Vihari, the part-timer, that looked dangerous at times.
Yeah, he did. So will they be ruining that chance to bring in another spinner, someone like Ravi Jadeja, perhaps? Because there were a couple that just spat off the pitch. Yeah. That'll keep Nathan Lyon interested for the rest of this test match. But, yeah, there was talk of perhaps going with an extra spinner, just someone who can keep some control from one end, rotate the seamers from the other end. And there was a lot of chat about, well, should they have gone with the four pace bowlers? They've obviously done a lot of work so far in this series. They only had about 3 days turnaround, and we saw quite a few of them fatiguing towards the end of the day. Shami in particular, Ishant Sharma as well.
Pulled up a bit lame, didn't he? So, but the bloke that I would want in my team is Jasprit Bumrah. He just keeps charging in, doesn't he? What a job he does for his captain.
Yeah, he's a star, isn't he? He's got that unusual action. What will the Aussies be looking to do today? Mark Waugh said in commentary on Fox, if the Aussies get 300, they'll win the test match in the first innings.
So what do they need? 23 more?
Yeah, according to
and
June.
Then we can just call it all off after that.
Yeah, just whack them in, and job's done.
Whatever June says, he is right, isn't it?
So
he tells us. They'll just try and bat as long as they possibly can. And I tell you, there's probably their best technician is in there at the moment, and it's not Tim Payne, it's Pat Cummins.
Yeah, he looks good, doesn't he?
His technical work on the front foot in particular, and even on the back foot, that's exquisite.
Yeah, he has looked good. But let's not drool over them too much, guys. It's all about India this morning, isn't it?
We pay the bills. We bring her to Australia. Yeah. We put her in nice hotels, and she goes for the opposition.
So you're Indian now?
I do have roots from India, yes.
Well, up next, Ish, we were going to discuss Marcus Harris and the way he's going at the top of the order, but Isha came in and said, I'd like a bit of me time. I'd like a segment about me. So up next, we are going deep with Isha Gill to find out what this lady is all about. Isha wanted it about her, and it will be. I sat in Triple M commentary last year, and sometimes I come off air and I think, yeah, it wasn't a bad call. I've done okay here. But it was like what the rest of the Invincibles felt like when Bradman was up the other end, because you jump on social media and Isha Gill was the Bradman. How good's Isha? Isha's fantastic. Yep. We want more of Isha. Let's get more of Isha. Very, very popular in a short period of time in this country.
Yeah, that's right. We talk about Marcus Harris and what he did yesterday. Michael Vaughan said, oh, you found one here. You found one in a new opener. Well, Triple M unleashed the beast, didn't they, really? Just this momentum of popularity ended up in resulting in an award that she doesn't even know. So many awards she hasn't even taken the time to find out what it was.
It'd be fair to say, Gill, as her profile grew, her ego grew with it as well, became very confident, I would have thought. We thought we'd do is get a little bit of background, a few short, sharp ones first.
Should we switch a microphone
on
now?
Yeah, no, she's ready to go.
I didn't realise you guys were so sensitive.
Where were you born, Ish?
High Wycombe.
So born in the UK, but your parents, where are they from?
Calcutta.
Calcutta, right. Your mum and dad?
Both, yes.
Righto. And your career in England, fantastic. Tell us about what you used to send down.
Slow medium. Face bowling, yeah.
What's your number one performance in cricket and the international level?
Oh, Bowral test match.
Okay, tell us about that. Adam and I have heard the story plenty of times. But for the audience out there, you might as well run us through it, Ish. 8 test matches, 83
You're painting a really nasty picture of me right now.
Run us through Bowral.
2008, one test match to decide the Ashes. and we hold the Ashes. So all we need to do is draw it, but we end up winning. And it's a picturesque, incredibly beautiful ground with an incredible aura about it. White picket fence all around the ground. Don Bradman, obviously, everyone knows.
Where the Bradman Museum is.
Yeah, and I'd been there before on an under-19 tour to Australia, so I already knew about it, and just always felt really comfortable just being in that kind of space.
Sort of alongside the Don. I tell you, it's out of control.
No, control. Because of how close it is to England, because there's so much greenery around, thanks, Howie. And I'd kind of had a poor lead up to that test match. I was in and out of the side, got the opportunity, and we ended up bowling first. I think I got a couple of wickets early. And then it was just one of those moments where you just felt everything kind of... And Gilly, you would have had this moment on quite a few occasions in your career where you felt like you could blast everyone out of the attack, but pretty much every ball I felt like I could get a wicket. And it was the only time I actually felt that, so that's why it's my best moment in cricket.
Well, I don't believe that. I've got just to take it slightly serious for a moment. I wonder, Ish, do you feel, because Howie, as you know, on the back of the popularity in Australia on Triple M last year, the most highly sought after broadcaster, or one of the most highly sought after, no doubt about, around the world across all forms of cricket, men's and women's cricket, whatever it is. But in all seriousness, Ish, do you feel that you need to justify your cricket knowledge on the back of talking about what you achieved at the international level, or is there a feeling of, okay, they've, in this day and age, there's a sort of an equality that they need to have women involved in men's game? But tell us about that. Is that something that has been an issue?
I think early on, yes. I definitely wanted to kind of show that women... Because you feel like you are representing all women, because there were so few opportunities. So whenever you got an opportunity, it was like, yes, you have to do it for everyone. And if you did make a mistake, you kind of felt bad about that. So, you know, I make mistakes all the time now, and no one says anything about it.
You're incredibly hard on yourself. I've had the pleasure of working with you in the Caribbean and in Dubai and here in Australia. You are your own harshest critic, ECG.
Really?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Okay.
There's nothing to criticise, though. She's an absolute standard.
Yeah, absolutely. Perfection.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But, yeah, it's certainly something. It's great to see so many women getting opportunities now. And, it's just great because it's representing the public, essentially.
Yep.
I'm just looking through the rest of the rundown as well. Now, I see segment 8 in the second hour. We're talking about Isha's wedding. So this show is pretty much about Isha. The 2018 ACRA's Australian Commercial Radio Awards Best Sports Presenter was up against Tim Lane, Chris Judd, and my favourite, she knocked off James Brayshaw as well. So, but don't know where the trophy is?
No. I'm blaming Ewan, our producer.
Oh,
he's misplaced it.
Check Brayshaw's trophy cabinet. He might have just sort of swindled it.
Nicely done, Ish. We're going to hear about your wedding of the century as well in the second hour. Not too far away. The top 5 most entertaining cricketers we've seen play for the Baggy Green. Gilly, the test match here in your home state, although you're actually from Lismore in New South Wales, but you came over here. You had an extraordinary test match against England in the Ashes years ago where you made 100 off just 57 deliveries, just to inflict a touch of pain on our co-host here, Isha G. I thought we should go and revisit that. How does a man in Test cricket, Ish, make 100 off 57 deliveries? When Gilly used to come out to bat for an Australia, as an England fan, what did you used to think?
How good's he? And we need to get him out.
Oh, nice.
I'm being too nice, I know. But I remember that. You really got after Monty Panesar at one stage, didn't you, in that innings? But we all knew how destructive Gilly could be. I mean, he changed the game for cricket all around the world. Rishabh Pant, he was talking about the fact that he watched a lot of Gilchrist when he was younger, and that's where he was really inspired. And he has been an inspiration to a lot of youngsters, but that's pretty serious chat. He just smoked it, didn't he?
No, he did, and this is the way he brought it up. Absolutely fantastic innings, which we'll hear about a bit more in a moment, but this is Gil bringing up the ton.
Oh, what a shot.
Oh, he only had 5 metres to move. He moved 1 before it hit the fence. Yorkers tries, caught that.
Catch.
Goes. and goes and goes. Here we go. Eight men on the fence.
And there goes a drive now. Will he come back for the second? I think he probably will. Clark comes back. He's going through for the second. That's it. Magnificent.
Yeah, a wonderful 100, and great to hear the voice of the late, great Tony Gregg calling the action. What are your memories of that innings?
I remember getting out for a duck in the first innings of that game. Monty Panesar was brought into the England lineup. That was the third test of the series. We'd won the first couple, and he came in, and he got five for in the first innings, pretty much sort of ran through us, and I was one of those five, and it was the most negative, tentative little prod of a shot where I got a little inside edge under the bat pad and it popped up and I was out for a duck. And I walked off and I thought, I'm done here. After 2005 and all the dramas and trauma I had of Freddie Andrew Flintoff coming around the wicket and getting inside my mind, I thought, I think I'm done here. So I rang my wife from the car park late that day and said, I'm retiring, and got home that night and she sort of smacked me around the head.
I was out.
I knew.
No that, way.
Yeah, wow.
I thought I'd come to the end of the road. I thought I've probably managed to bluff my way through for a number of years here. And I surprised a few people when I wrote about this in my book. But I thought, yeah, that'll probably do. I think I'm done. But Mel and others, all that sort of inner circle that you have around you that you confide in, sort of literally said and convinced me and made me realise I was sulking after getting a duck more than being ready to retire. I thought it was the end of the road, but I realised that eventually. But so I walked out to bat in that one thinking two things. I've got to just try, and this may well be my last test innings in my mind. And the other thing I thought is, if I face Monty, I'm not getting caught at bat pad. I'm at least going to get caught on the boundary. Try and hit him for six as much as I can. But I was the beneficiary of a 40-degree day. The England bowlers were absolutely cooked. I think Mike Hussey might have made 100 earlier. Michael Clark peeled off 100. And so, yeah, everything went my way that day. And I had – but I'll tell you just quickly how it ended up a 57-ball 100. We got to drinks on the last drinks break, and Michael Clark and I asked the 12th man to come out, and we said to him, run back and tell Ricky Ponting, who was captain, we feel like if we get a wriggle on here, we could almost get the Poms to come out and bat for a nasty little, you know, half-hour period before stumps. And it was only day three, so it was a bit risky so early in the game to think about a second innings declaration, but we were miles ahead. And you know, we said, don't worry about running back out to tell us. Just get Ricky to give us a thumbs up if you want us to slog, or a thumbs down if you want us to play out till stumps. We were sure we saw a thumbs up. And the rest is history. We walked off. Ricky declared after I got the 100. And we walked in and everyone's hooting and hollering, throwing high fives. And he was in the corner with his hands on his hip. And he said, what the was that? So miscommunication, but it all turned out fine in the end.
He was nearly going to retire, Ish. He was going to get out of the English hair and made a big ton, the guru.
I wish he had done.
Gil, last week we did the top five best-looking cricketers in my time of watching cricket. Brett Lee came in at five, Paddy Cummins at three, Alan Border controversially at four. Number two was Greg Blewett, and then very happy to receive the award was Brendan Julian.
Yeah, very popular segment, wasn't it?
It was, and Brendan's skin really got him across the line. He's just such a good-looking man. Ish, you disagree?
Alan Border controversially. Are you joking? Have you seen him these days?
Well, I told Alan Border this today, and he said it was better than winning the Ashes in 89, getting the top five and the 87 World
Cup. He was a good looker back in the day.
Well, that's why I put him aside. But we've come up with a new top five for today.
Now on Triple M's Willow Talk.
Five.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Howie's top five.
Top five today is entertainers, bums on seats, people that if you're at the cricket, or if you're watching on TV, Ish, in my time of watching Australian Test cricket, only Australian Test cricket, you had to keep watching.
Are you excluding Adam Gilchrist from this chat because he's on air with us?
Squeeze his way in. we've got some entertainers over my 35 years of watching Test cricket. We'll see if he gets in. Number five, this man, obviously I'm a fan of Victoria coming from that part of the world. But for me, he revolutionised the game. When he was batting, especially in one-day cricket, you had to keep watching him. Did some amazing things in India. Dean Jones.
Oh, yeah. Yes, absolutely. Before his time. Imagine him in T20.
Oh, how good
cricket
would he be?
He was.
Dean will be disappointed not to be number one on the list.
Yeah.
But Dean Jones very good. Number four, I've only got slight memories of this man. MCG, last ball, West Indies, Viv Richards. It's just at the edge of my memory, and this man came steaming in.
Lily in to bowl the last ball of the day. He's bowled him! He's bowled him! The last ball of the day. Lily went to nip back, finding the inside edge, and bowling out Viv Richards. The West Indies, four down for 10.
Four for 10. DK Lily, only right on the edge of my memory. I don't remember Jeff Thompson, so I couldn't put him in. But to me, when DK Lily was bowling, you had to watch.
Yeah. I mean, there's loads of footage, isn't there, of him running in, steaming in. A few words here and there as well, that open chest as well.
And I think that the fact that he never used to do the buttons up on his shirt and would have a chain and would have the rug right out makes him an entertainer.
Yeah, and didn't mind kicking the odd batsman up the behind, did he? Really? So that made it entertaining. Or trying to bat with an aluminium bat and throwing it halfway across the field.
Yeah, probably kicking Java Miende, got him from 5-4 in front of Dean Jones. The combat, that's what it was called, the aluminium bat. The combat coming in at number three of my most entertaining cricketers that I've seen playing for Australia in Test cricket, Emmy Waugh.
Oh, gee.
Silky smooth.
Well, yeah. He was, and I can recall being in the backyard at Pete Shepherd's in Maffra, playing backyard cricket in probably year 10 when Mark made his debut, and we started watching when he got to about 30-odd and you just couldn't turn the television off. He made that 100 on debut at the Adelaide Oval. He was just so wonderful to watch.
And what about a mullet? What a beautiful mullet. It was a fine exponent. It didn't really curl up too much. It was long and flowing, and that was probably due to the hairdryer he carried around in his kit bag.
Oh, I did not know this.
Oh, that's one to use. Yes, absolutely.
The hairdryer.
Oh, okay.
Yep, indeed. Yep.
And he had those fantastic sunnies as well that he used to wear in the airport. That probably got him taken from 2 back to 3. I was never a fan of this. In the opera. And if you ask him, he says he was in bowling the time before the speedometer, and he said he regularly clicked 150 k's an hour, you reckon, Emmy Waugh? Bit of mayonnaise?
Absolute. Off about 15 yards, yeah.
Number two, and this is where it got really difficult, because number two and number one were always going to be very difficult. When Shane Warne came onto the scene and got 7 for against the West Indies, again, back from memory, I was on holidays at Lakes Entrance in the caravan park, and it was at this stage when he started bowling flippers and leggies that spun the width of the pitch that he was one of the great entertainers, and you just had to watch him, Ish.
Yep, gutting ball. I mean, that's etched on everyone's memories when he took those 700 wickets in Test cricket as well. You know, there's longevity there, and you were as much entertained by his on-the-field antics as off-the-field.
Yes, indeed. I tell you, I had the best seat in the house. I feel like Ian Healy and myself and Phil Emery did it for one test match in between there, but we stole from the public the chance to stand behind the stumps to Shane Warne in a test match. It was the best seat in the house. And then at the end of that over, you then go and stand at the other end of Glenn McGrath and have Shane Warne standing next to you at first slip. And that's when he would talk about his off-field exploits, Ish, and that made it even more entertaining.
So if I'd heard the exploits, he's probably gone straight to number one, but I wasn't aware of those conversations. So my number one most entertaining cricketer in the time I've watched test cricket, this is a man, Isha, that I trekked one season to the MCG 4 straight times in one day international cricket just to watch him open the batting. He failed 4 times. I didn't go the 5th one day international the summer, and he made one of the great hundreds. But the man beside me, Adam Gilchrist, changed the game, Isha. When he was batting, you just had to watch. You didn't want to miss what was happening. So he is my most entertaining cricketer since I watched it, and it is always a treat to watch him, Isha, and he was a bums on seats man.
And for people listening, how he's just sidled up alongside Adam Gilchrist.
Put my arm around him. It was tough to separate Warne and Gilchrist, but obviously a tremendous honour. You know, Brendan Julian spoke about what it meant to him to be the best-looking cricketer, but for you, the bums on seats, number one?
Well, you want to entertain. That's what cricketers want to try and do. But, look, I don't think it's any sort of anything similar to the victory speech that Brendan Julian, it meant a lot to him, didn't it? That was one of the speeches for the ages. But, look, I'm a bit surprised Andrew Simons didn't feature there somewhere. He had bat, ball, field. He used to chase after pitch invaders and tackle them, streakers. He'd give them the hip and shoulder. I found him pretty entertaining to watch.
Well, there's an actual story there, because I was running through this today in the Fox box out the back, and I was talking to this person, and I said to them, I think I better put Andrew Simons. And he said, what, you're going to put Andrew Simons in instead of me? Which is why Mark Waugh came in at number three. talked his way into the top five. In the next hour, we'll hear about Isha G's amazing wedding and the amazing moment when Astua told the likes of Shane Warne that I've got this. Very nice to have our good friends at Irwin Tools looking after the show. And Ish, as you know, if you demand performance and durability on the job site, as you always tell me, it has to be Irwin.
Absolutely.
Absolutely it does, because they've got the vice grip locking pliers, which I know you use frequently, Isha, the quick grip clamps, the record vices and the World Tech circular saw blades. You'll get the job done right first time. You were telling me you're doing a bit of work in the kitchen the other day, just fixing things up, and you were using the World Tech circular saw blade, Isha.
I need the saw blade for my toenails.
You can get it at Bunnings Warehouse. Irwin, trade strong. We talked to the boys last week about their ability on the tools. You and your beautiful husband, Rich, and we'll get to your wedding shortly. If a job needs doing in the house with some Irwin-style gear, who's doing it?
Me.
You. Right, it's not Rich's strong
He's not a DIY man. No? But he's very good at arranging furniture and feng shui. Feng shui?
Feng shui. I think he's the test not too far away from getting underway. Overnight after the first day, Australia, 6 for 277. How do you think the Indians are feeling this morning, getting ready after another long, hot day in the field yesterday?
Very tired.
Yes.
Suffering from a bit of general soreness, I would have thought. That was a tough turnaround for them after the big effort they put in Adelaide to come back out yesterday in that heat. They stuck at it well. Pretty even day. Australia in front, I think. But, they've got to be pulling up sore.
And they've come to these shores. Everyone talking about the fact that they're a bowling attack that can take 20 wickets. This is where Virat Kohli will come to the party. He wants them to be tough cricketers, AB style. So he's going to be saying to them, if I see any of you show that you are tired, then you are not going to be part of this team anymore.
And he was interesting, wasn't he? Because he spent some time in the field, he spent some time in the slips, he spent some time all around the ground, but it was pretty much the highlight of the day. His catch, which you called very nicely, by the way, on Fox Giga Gill, was an absolutely magnificent catch to get rid of Peter Hanscom. That was top drawer Usman Khawaja style.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, maybe not quite to the level of Khawaja, but a brilliant catch. Oh, no, the commentary was that's award winner, ACRA award winning. I don't know whether I'll be nominated. We'll just check and see whether Isha's going to be there.
I was just sort of checking what you're talking about there. No, it was a great catch, wasn't it?
It was a brilliant catch. And he's a guy that you just can't keep out of the game. Haven't seen him nail the really big score in the first couple of innings that he's had in this series, but you know that's around the corner somewhere, but he knows how to impose himself on a match.
All right, up next. You and I wanted to talk cricket, but Isha wanted to review her wedding. You think that the royal show was big?
Yeah.
This is an event that went on for 5 straight days. Isha, we've had a bit of a laugh with you. Congratulations. You got married this year to Rich. For all those hearts you've broken around Australia and the world, tell us a little bit about Rich.
Rich is... Sorry, I need to start again.
We're not starting
the way
again.
You're looking at me.
We're not starting again.
No.
We can't start anything again here. Tell us about Rich. He's a rock star, let's be honest.
He is.
He plays rock music.
But he's not a Nirvana style Keith Richards rock star. He goes pretty hard out on stage. But
what's his operation called?
Brother and Bones.
Brother and Bones.
Yeah, but he plays with a guy called Ben Howard as well. So he played Sydney Opera House in the summer, which was pretty cool.
So he's big time. Where did you meet?
We met in a bar in Soho.
Okay.
That's a wonderful
Anything else?
Line, yeah, that's straight out of a movie, that.
That's
Isha
Tech. Yeah. Over the summer in Australia.
where was Astura on that night? Was he in London or the UK? Because thankfully for you, he wasn't.
Pre-Tinder days.
How did he propose?
It was my 30th birthday in a wonderful place called Vizag. Mm. It was my last match of the IPL. And I remember the car journey back from the ground. He was in front. I was in the back with Darren Sammy. And I remember distinctly that Rich was being ultra quiet. And I was like, oh, why aren't you socializing? Like, get amongst it. And we got back to the hotel and walked in, and he'd managed to organize the room to have lots of balloons and so forth. And yeah, it's all lovely.
Yeah. The wedding itself, it was, in all seriousness, it was a 3-day event?
We had to do a separate registration to actually be officially married. And then we wanted to have a wedding where, you know, it was all our mates, did it how we wanted.
How many days?
A test match,
right? It ran for 3 days, but then...
Tour match.
Had a 3-day wedding. How many different costume changes were there?
Because there were a couple on the day.
Some fantastic photos on social media that you sent out, but there was several costume changes.
There were a couple on the day. We also... So my mum couldn't make the wedding, unfortunately, and so that's why we had, and this is why you think it went on for longer than it did. We had a separate Indian wedding,
right?
And
you were in traditional costume there.
I was
absolutely wonderful.
I was. I don't know if you've seen those pictures actually, because it was full on traditional.
Mel Jones, your MC, who does a wonderful job in the commentary, showed me some of the photos.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, she was incredible, by the way. She was our celebrant for the day in Cornwall. And just a special day. We had people come over from Australia. I've had a friend, Kath Cashel, who's just an incredible person, been through a tremendous amount in her life, runs the Kindness Factory here in Australia. She's just started it over in America now. But she flew in that morning to Gatwick. I remember getting in touch with her a few days beforehand. I said, Kathy, is everything all right? Are you going to be all right for a place to stay? Do you need a lift? She was like, no, it's fine. I'm getting in in the morning. It's like a 7-hour drive from Gatwick to Cornwall. And she's flown in from Australia. So I remember distinctly, I'd walked down the aisle and I just didn't want to look back because there were so many people. And it's the one time in your life where everyone's really just focused on you and what you're wearing. And so I was really nervous about that. So I didn't want to look behind me. But I remember distinctly turning around and she was the first person I saw. And it was just such an incredible moment. That's really kind of just etched in my memory. But it's a special day. And Rich, you know, he's been incredible. He's been an incredible support over the years. And
Well, you've had a wonderful marriage since, because you've been married for 4 months and you've seen him for 3 days. So things are going.
That's how we roll.
Perfect.
Fresh as best. Did he serenade you on the wedding night? You know, it's a bridal waltz normally, but did he get up and did he pen some words for you?
No, we obviously wrote our own vows for each other. And
obviously. I don't remember doing that. How even you?
No,
you would have.
You guys didn't.
No. But this.
Well, you got married recently, Howie. Tell us about your wedding.
Well, he was on the down low.
That was very low key. That one.
Mate.
Well, it certainly didn't take 3 days. I'm not sure it actually even took 3 minutes. The Aussies nicely positioned after the first day's play. They are 6 for 277. Payne and Cummins will resume. Payne on 16. Paddy Cummins on 11. Already faced 29 deliveries. He's looking very good too. Is Patrick. Mark Howard with you, Adam Gilchrist and Isha Gua. Commentary, what do you think the key is, Gil? What do you think the key is to successful sports cricket commentary?
Oh, that's a deep one. Without notification, I would think in TV broadcasting, trying to make sure that you're aware of what the images are on the screen whilst you talk, and it's something that takes a bit of time to get used to. Particularly if you've done radio commentary a la Triple M last summer, which has, I think, given new meaning to the term loose. That can go anywhere there, can't it? So, yeah, that's probably the main thing.
Well, as the number one man at Fox, that's a nice summation. I'll get your thoughts on it, Isha, because you're known worldwide. And I think why you're so well known, Isha, is because you are so classy. You are so refined. You've got such a wonderful vocabulary, the way you use dialogue. People can just sit at home and play along just knowing you are the perfect, quintessential, wonderful English Rose.
How many times by the end of Steve Smith's career do you reckon he would have touched himself while batting?
Crikey, Isha.
Yeah, wow.
And he's backing across again as Smith in defence sort of wields that wand of his, he so often does.
If he's not out of stumps, Gussie, I reckon you should just position yourself in the foyer of our hotel with about a dozen balls.
Yep.
And when he walks past at 3 a.m, so want any throwdowns?
I'm your man, Smithy.
He normally calls upon his wife, doesn't he?
She has done that before, yeah.
Feed him some balls.
Yeah.
That's Ishiguro, and that's why she won all sorts of awards around Australia last year. Ish, what do you think the key to success is?
Got the dump button ready?
To be serious about what you're talking about.
Yes.
None of those were intentional innuendos, I must say. We had a few the other day, didn't we? In the space of about 20 balls, Gilly came out with, oh, it's coming from both ends. What else did we have?
Oh, we had Triple M's Kerry O'Keefe, so that a certain player was an open face slapper.
He did.
Which I lost it there. I didn't know what he meant.
He did. Who was your commentary hero, Ish? Who did you look at when you were starting to find your way into the broadcasting game, or when you grew up watching cricket that you thought, well, I think that person does a really good job? Because you've worked with some of the greats, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I just I listen to commentary, and it is very subjective, and I hear a lot of people say, oh, I don't like this person, or I don't like this person, but I was never like that. I always just enjoyed listening to any sort of commentary, and I appreciated the different sorts of styles. So back home, you know, I'd listen to TMS a lot because it was always in the car. I'd be at cricket on a Saturday or a Sunday, Test Match Special, and it'd be on in the car. We'd go and sit and listen to it while we were playing our match out in the middle when I was out, obviously. So obviously Jeffrey Boycott, Jonathan Agnew, Henry Blofeld, who recently retired. Yeah. And then on television, I mean, I've been really, really lucky to work with some legends of broadcast. I mean, you've had the chance, Howie, of spending some time with Danny Morrison.
Yes.
And superstar. I absolutely love his commentary. Yeah. A lot of people don't, but I just think he's really good at timing. And I think you'll find that he changes depending on the type of format. But I guess when it comes to being back in England, you know, I listen to a lot of Tony Gregg, Beefy. Mikey Holding has got an incredible voice for commentary.
Yeah, Mikey Holding is an absolute superstar. I think everyone loves that. Whenever we saw shots of you guys in the change rooms with the cricket on, is the commentary ever up or is it just pictures?
Yeah, at various times, particularly if there's a long partnership form and it's a very relaxed mood around, certainly turn it up.
So what happens when you're in the box and in your day someone from Channel 9 was laying the boots into a teammate, critically analysing it, I guess is the right term, and that person's in front of his peers listening to it all?
Yeah, I don't really recall a lot of that. I guess if it was posted dismissal, the volume went straight down,
right.
Obviously out of respect for the batsman that's just been dismissed, and it would stay off then until all the analysis and the autopsy had been done on that particular player being given out or playing a bad shot, and then slowly, you know, you just, whoever was next in to bat, they were in control of the mood of the change rooms to an extent, whether there was music on, whether the volume was up in the commentary and so on. So I don't remember feeling anyone got carved up by a commentator whilst we're all sitting around analysing it and assessing their body language around that assessment. So I think a bit like what he says, it's what you've grown up on. We all grew up on the Channel 9 and all the different personalities. You did have ones that you like more than others, but I don't remember really strongly disliking any of them. And particularly when our friend Billy Birmingham got a hold of them and started impersonating, it just made them more lovable.
What did you like in the dressing room before you were going out to bat? Bit of music, bit of commentary, silence?
Yeah, I didn't really mind whatever was going on. I just pretty relaxed. Before one day, as going out to bat, it was just, you know, generally preparation for the game, and everyone's, you know, scurrying around, getting themselves bedded down, various batsmen getting padded up, but waiting to bat in a test match. I tried to keep it as light as possible. I like to have conversation. The last thing I needed to sit down and do was really burn up too much emotional energy concentrating. I'm a bit of a mosquito, needed to buzz around a little bit.
You guys have been asking for it. The audience has been waiting for it. Up next, the moment, the Chew Man, a humble statistician, told a couple of the greats of the game that he was about to take control. I actually still can't believe this happened, but it did right here in Western Australia. This time a year ago, a humble stats man by the name of Ash Tua, well known to Triple M football audiences. Well, he had an espresso martini, and then he had a second one. And I think by the time he ordered a third one, Gil, things were starting to get a little bit beyond the great man.
I'm sure.
We were down here in the Crown Bar. Isha, you were there on the night. And at the end of the day, well, the only thing I can say, this is what happened.
Two of the biggest in the jungle, Warren and Peterson, were at the bar last night. Shane, a single man, was keeping an eye on a couple of girls over the other side of the bar and maybe waving and saying hello. And Tua was on the espresso martinis at that stage.
Oh.
Warney was eyeing these ladies off. And Tua said, I quote, boys, leave it to me. To Warren and Peterson.
I think there might have been a rewrite of history right there. I think the Chew Man said something along the lines of, I've got this.
Bring back Triple M cricket. That's the first point right here, I think, at some point over the next couple of years. But, well, that was extraordinary, Ishan. I think the most amazing thing, Adam, you were coming in out of the box. You were doing some work with BT at the time. But a procession of Channel 9 greats. I'm talking Ciappelli, Ian Healy, Michael Clark would wander into the box and just sort of, why are these guys in here? And they just say quietly to Buzz, our producer, which one's Ash Tua? Because the story had got out, Ish.
Legendary status. That stuff's going to be talked about for years and years and years.
Yeah, quite extraordinary it was.
Yeah, the thing I remember most about that, because I wasn't in the bar in the hotel. Obviously, it was in Perth, and I was back home with the family and came in, and I learnt about these extraordinary events that transpired the night before. But I love the way that Ash sort of started to defend himself a little bit in, you know, he'd give a sports update or a score update, a stats update, but he tried to just get in there and defend himself. And I think the biggest question in his mind was his girlfriend listening back home.
and a very happily ensconced in a beautiful family, and there was no concern that Chu was doing anything untoward, to the point, Gil, when he came back to the group and said that, you know, I've had a chat to the girls and in the end they sort of... they got a little bit bored, and I was like, Chu, what was your main line there? And he said, oh, I got nervous and I didn't know what to say, so I pulled out my mobile phone and then showed them a video inside the new Perth Stadium.
Well, if that isn't enough to get your juices flowing, oh. I don't know what is. Seriously. Yeah. The best comment of it all
Come
was,
on, Chu.
The best comment of it all was someone saying that it was like leaving Bradman down the other end and saying no to him.
I've got this.
So Australia will start shortly. 6 for 277. Tim Payne not out, 16. Paddy Cummins not out, 11. Been impressive, Tim Payne.
Yep.
Out in the middle, as a captain, wicket-keeping, batting, made a 40-odd in the second innings of the first test. And the way he's conducted himself in the media, for me personally, I think he's been quite outstanding.
Yeah, love his calmness, the way he's leading this group. No fuss. He could have come out leading into this test match and made it all about this sore finger that he picked up, a finger that's given him issues for about 8 years. But no, just dismissed it leading into the test match when he got out to the wicket yesterday on a wicket that's starting to do a few extraordinary things. Just unflustered, and I love the way he's leading this team forward in conjunction with Justin Langer.
That should be your next top five, Howie. Best looking tough guys.
Best looking tough guys. We might do that on the show next week. Best looking tough guys. Okay, Tim Payne's in there, isn't it?
Yeah.
That delivery he got yesterday from a good length that went straight past him, to see his comment on the replay as part dived up in the air. That was the delivery alongside the last ball of the day that Paddy Cummins just jammed a bat down on that went the other way off the same length. I think they're the two deliveries that the Indians will be having nightmares about coming into today's play.
Well, and both teams come the third, fourth days, but Australia way in front at the moment because they've got the runs on the board. Tim Payne, though, yes, many people will say potentially under a bit of pressure, but that match-saving knock in the UAE, you know, he's inherited a side that are automatically going to be receiving lots and lots of taunts because of everything that's happened throughout the year. Under an incredible amount of pressure, everyone's watching their every move. They have to be nice guys. And you know, it must be quite difficult for someone to be able to lead the side through all of that. And I think he's been the best man for it so far. He's certainly shown that on the cricket field.
I agree.
I'll tell you a little tidbit about Tim Payne that is not public knowledge. There was a lot made about the fact that Virat Kohli gave up his business class seat to the fast bowlers on the flight over here. Tim Payne gave and frequently gives up his seat. He gave up his business class seat on the flight over here to one of the Australian team staff members. Mm-hmm. And frequently, as you know, the captain often gets a suite, a bigger hotel room than the other players because there's going to be meetings in there. In his time as captain, Tim has frequently given that room up to one of the other players.
Was that support staff member Justin Langer?
No, it wasn't Justin Langer. It wasn't the coach. But I like where you're coming from. It was Greg Chappell, chairman of selectors. No, it wasn't. It wasn't. It wasn't either of those. Hey, it's been a nice edition of Willow Talk. Next week, Greg Blewett and Big Merv gets on the show.
Oh, yes.
Look out for that one. Ish, wonderful from you. We've had a nice laugh with you today because we know that you take it in the right manner. You're killing it on the broadcast. Who wins the test match?
Really?
Yes.
India.
Oh,
still.
We'll edit that out.
No. I want it to be a good series, Australia level series.
Gil, you've been wonderful as always. Who wins the test match?
Yeah, Australia, for me, runs on the board.
That's Stumps on Triple M's Willow Talk.
Yes, they've done well.
Want a head start on the show for next week? Gadget Saturdays on Triple M. Need the edge? Has to be Irwin. Available at Bunnings Warehouse. Irwin, trade strong.